This is Doug Miller. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as the snow. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. And we are back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand, trusting in the Lord to send this out with power and to change lives, because that's what the Word of God does. Now, we are in the book of Zechariah. We are in chapter 3. And I think you'll find this a great blessing. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Zechariah 3. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You are the only advertisers we have or are going to have. All right. We are back again one more time this side of heaven and eternity to talk into this microphone with the sure and certain knowledge that God will bless his word. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require your support, your prayers. Please pray for Dialogue and tell others about us. We are strictly a faith ministry. We are not supported by any board, denomination, or anything of the sort. We're just out here, and you say, well, doesn't it cost money? Sure it costs money. The Lord has always provided that. He always will, as long as he wants us on here. But we cannot function without your prayers, so pray for Dialogue. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We also, if you wish to email, that's fine. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That is Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to look at the web page, we've got one of those too. And you can get to that by typing in Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? DialogueMinistries.org. Finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, be happy to talk to you. I'm not so unapproachable that I can't be spoken to from time to time. Our telephone number here is area code 405-535-9089. That's 535-9089. Okay. I believe that takes care of the preliminaries. Incidentally, I just want to just take a little time here and thank some of those that have worked with us on Dialogue over the years. Our board members, you hear me say on here often, that Paul Sublett, who will give you the information at the end of the broadcast. Well, Paul has been on the board, a board member of Dialogue, for many, many years and has helped keep this program going forward. Mike Davis, another board member. We've got Jerry McCall, who has helped wonderfully with technical assistance, and there are others too numerous to name. And, of course, those of you who have prayed for Dialogue and supported it over the years, the Lord knows who you are, and I trust he will render to you a great blessing and reward for your help and support. We couldn't be on here without you. All right. Let's talk about our great high priest. When we were in here the last time, we saw something that was a little bit surprising, I thought. We see Joshua, the great high priest, standing in the presence of the Lord, but he's got filthy garments on. He's got filthy garments on. And standing at his side, Satan to accuse. Well, wow, with these filthy garments on, you know, Satan would seem to have plenty to accuse him about. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say this about him, and you listen to me carefully. One of the verses of Scripture that really got hold of me back before I was saved and that the Lord used to get my attention and bring me to salvation was what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21. It's verse 21, really. He hath made him, that is, God hath made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I want you to listen to me. You be careful how you treat that verse. Jesus Christ did not have wickedness poured into him, as I've heard some say. Stanley Price always used to tell me, when you talk about Jesus, you had better put the shoes off your feet. You're walking on holy ground. The truth is that God credited our wickedness. He put it down to Jesus' account. And just as he has accounted us righteous by crediting Christ's righteousness to us. But the amazing thing here is, when you think about it, where and when was our Lord Jesus Christ made to be sin for us, this one who knew no sin, this holy, spotless Lamb of God? Friends, it was when he was on that cross. It was when he hung there between heaven and earth. Now, the human eye looking at him, if I had been a Roman soldier standing at the foot of the cross at that time, I would have just seen Jesus as just another man dying, hanging naked, sweating and bleeding and groaning on that cross. I wouldn't have seen anything different. He would have looked to me just a lot like those thieves hanging on either side. But I wouldn't really have been able to see what was going on there. If I could have seen him when God turned his back on him, when God forsook his son, if I could have seen him in that moment as God saw him, the word filthy might not be adequate to describe it. Not that Jesus was, but that he was credited with the sins of the world. Now think of all the sins of the world. I can't even comprehend this. Put them all together and put them on him. And you get some idea, perhaps, why God forsook him. Why Jesus cried out from that cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And when you, you think of yourself and your own sinfulness and wickedness, remember that judgment, if you are a believer, is behind you. It took place on Calvary, on Golgotha, at that cross. It took place there. Because before he died, before he yielded up his spirit, he said, Father, into thy hands I come in my spirit. And he said to Telestai, it is finished. Now, when he ascended back to heaven, he didn't ascend there in unclean garments. He does not stand unclean in the presence of the Father. But I'll tell you what he did. He entered that high and holy place with his own blood as the sacrifice for us. And he placed that blood before the Father. Now, some say this is purely symbolic. I tend to take it literally. Now, we have here in this picture of Joshua a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in this case, he is standing mainly there representing the nation of Israel. Look at verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, what do we have here? We have a picture of the grace of God. Now, Satan, who is standing there in the presence of the Lord at the right hand of Joshua to accuse and to belittle and to point out his faults and his problems, Satan has never understood grace, and he never will understand it. All he understands is law, rule, regulation. You broke the law, you sinned, you're finished. He has never believed in the efficacy of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why he stands there night and day before the throne accusing us. He does not get it. Many of you out there don't get it. You know what I mean? You'd better know. Because salvation is by grace through faith. It has nothing to do with human works. It comes when I believe and lay hold on the truth of the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is it, pure and simple. You will notice what we are reading here in Zechariah 3. Joshua didn't take off his filthy garments and put on clean garments. He didn't do it. He's just standing there. It is others that do. In verse 4 there, it's the angel that says to others, take away the filthy garments, put on clean garments, clothe him with a change of raiment. And Zacharias tells them, put a fair mitre on his head, and they do. This is the work of others. Joshua, representative of Israel here, I mean, this is an amazing thing and a marvelous thing, and I want to tell you something. It is, in a way, it was fulfilled with the return of the remnant to Jerusalem, that remnant that came back under Ezra and Nehemiah and Zechariah and Haggai and others. But it is also going to be fulfilled in a much more beautiful and wonderful and complete and eternally everlasting way at the time that our Lord comes back to this earth and Israel is drawn back out of the captivity from which she has never returned, and Judah is in the land and they are unified one with another and the kingdom is set up and they will look upon him, Jesus Christ, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him. And they will cry, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And this is and will be and ever was a work of grace. Now, once again, Satan doesn't get this. He never got it and he never will. And the reason that he is accusing us, what's he accusing us of, and what was he accusing Israel of here? Because the filthy garments on Joshua here, he was there, standing there as Israel, and Satan was there to accuse Israel. But let's just think about us, and I think in looking at us, you'll get a better picture of Israel here. What's he accusing us of? He's accusing us of sin. Why is he accusing us of sin? Because we sin. But what is our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, doing for us? He is constantly presenting himself and his sacrifice there on our behalf and saying, as it were, I paid for that. That was judged in me back at the cross. At what point? I mean, you'd think at some point that Satan would get tired of it, that he would give up and go away. Oh, no. His accusation is that that sacrifice of our Lord was not efficacious to take sin away, and that in forgiving us and putting our sins away, the sanctity and the holiness of the throne is being compromised. That's what he's saying. But he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. The nation of Israel has been wicked beyond anything that you can imagine. Now, any of you out there who are Jews, if you find this offensive, you better go back and read your own Old Testament, because it doesn't pull any punches. Right now, a remnant of Judah and Benjamin and Levi have returned to the land, and they are in a part of the land, and the bulk of them are there in unbelief. They have never gotten past their idolatry, the worshiping of false gods. You say, well, I mean, what about the Orthodox? Listen, let me really get on some toes here. Let me tell you something. The Gospel of John tells us very clearly that he who does not, or John's letter, first letter, he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. If you are not acknowledging the sonship of Jesus Christ, that he is indeed God the Son, if you are not bowing the knee to him, whoever you are worshiping, it is, and he is an idol. Not the true God, not Yahweh Elohim. And that is exactly what's going on right now. Well, for all of you Jews out there, and for the nation of Israel, I've got good news for you. God has never taken his grace off you and never will. And the day is coming when the remnant that is brought through the fire will know the Lord Jesus. And the greatest blessing that this world has ever seen will fall upon it because of and by and through the Jewish people. But it will be ultimately, always, everlastingly a work of grace. And you can put that in the bank just like we saw here. Let's go on to verse 6. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Now there is the word to this, to Joshua the high priest. And notice that this is couched in the terms of a conditional. If thou wilt, then I will. Don't confuse this with what the Lord is saying to the church, and even to some of the promises of Israel. The promises to bring Israel back to the land, to give them the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those promises are unconditional. But this particular promise that's given right here is given to Joshua, who was the high priest at the time that this remnant came back from Babylon to Israel. And they came back, of course, many of them in unbelief, and the whole nation was in unbelief and idolatry and sin and evil and wickedness. And we have God in his grace restoring a remnant. Now, these are the ones that came back and rebuilt the temple. And we get it again. Now, you are here. You have been cleansed by grace. By grace, your iniquities taken away. I have clothed you in garments of white and garments of beauty and glory. Now, walk it and live it. Now, let's see what else we've got here. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. They are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Ah, here we have one. For the first time, we have this word, and this is not the last time, though. We will see the branch coming up again, and we will see the importance of the branch. But I'll tell you right now, the branch is a name for Messiah. It is a messianic title. And if you don't believe it, just talk to any Orthodox rabbi, any well-taught rabbi, They have always understood this and said it. And there is not a Christian Bible teacher out there who is worth his salt who will not agree to this one. So I'm not really laying any great revelation on any of you here. We have one brought before Joshua. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And notice it is future. The branch has not been brought forth yet. Now we know that Christ is the eternal Son of the living God. He never was born. He was not created. And he never became the Son of God. He was ever and always the Son of God. Now, this is one of these things that people get confused about. It wasn't until he was born in Bethlehem of Judea of the Virgin Mary that he took his title or his name of Jesus. And that he took this title, the branch, had not come forth yet. And at the time that this was being said, this is about 500 B.C., we've got another 500 years or so to go before the branch comes forth, but he is coming. Now, listen to me. Very important. Zechariah is the Old Testament book that mentions the Messiah more than any other writer with the exception of Isaiah. Isaiah is the only one that talks about Messiah more. And Zechariah tells us things about Messiah that the people of Israel and that the Jews really need to have paid attention to. But they didn't, and most of them still aren't. But here he is, and he says, "Behold the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." Now, we have Zechariah. He probably didn't understand this. He is looking from his time. He is looking forward to the coming of Messiah, and he is looking far off into the distant future to the second coming of Messiah, to the time indeed when the sin of Israel will be taken away. And this stone with seven eyes on it is another picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel has a great and glorious future, but right now, the dispensation we are living in is the dispensation of grace. If you want any kind of a future with God at all, I don't care if you are Jew or Gentile, there is only one way to come. And if you will not come by Jesus Christ, you simply won't get there. I don't care who told you what. What I am telling you is the truth. You will either believe the gospel and come in and through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you will never be in heaven. God has great things in store for those who believe in him. Great blessings. How about you? Will you be there with us? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.